Happy to have back with us on the show the fine sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Terry Pluto. Terry, welcome back.
Hey, Beck.
So I want to get your thoughts on how much this infusion of young talent from this draft. I mean, there's been a lot of enthusiasm expressed from fans, and even the most skeptical of media is allowing that this draft class is pretty good or looks good on paper. I want your take on what you've observed from off-season workouts and just being around this team, Terry.
Well, in general, fans get excited after most drafts, too. That's the one advantage to losing a whole bunch of games. You get to pick high, and then usually you're selecting from people that fans have heard from before. So, and Browns fans, for all their feeling beaten down and broken hearts and, you know, crying in their beer, there's a part of them that's kind of resilient and comes back. What I've noticed is that in the same way you and I and the fans, you know, watch the ESPN and watch the shows and watch college football games, and so are the players. They know Trent Richardson can play. I mean, they know it. They know it from the moment he steps on the field because they've seen it at Alabama. They know Brandon Weeden, maybe not before they've seen it, but all you have to do is watch one workout. Yeah, they're in shorts and they're in helmets and T-shirts and everything else, but it's kind of like watching a pitcher throw on the sidelines. You know, one guy's throwing 88 miles an hour. The other one's throwing 95 with control. You know, you don't have to exactly wake up and be the most astute scout in the world to figure out which guy has the better stuff. And so those two things right there, those two players with obvious, you know, pedigree coming to a team that's been offensively dismal for so long just brings hope.
And you mentioned Trent Richardson as being this catalyst. I mean, really the star attraction of this whole thing. For a football team whose head coach, his success has been rooted in dealing with quarterbacks and developing the passing game and really brought here with that idea, to think that the player who could make the most, or I guess should, if he's going to do anything, make the most impact, is a running back, kind of takes us back to 2010, where it was Peyton Hillis, it was Eric Mangini, and it was an offense really conducive to just kind of the ground and pound.
Well, my hope is that in some ways it might even be better than that because you have better quarterback play. And so that should, you know, enable Trent to have, hey, more holes to run through and everything else. And frankly, I think Trent Richardson should be a better back than Peyton Hillis. And should be a better back than the five games that Jerome Harrison had at the end of 2009. Now, is he going to be that way immediately? You know what, Vic? If I had to guess, I would guess yes. And here's why. He's going to get a tremendous amount of opportunities. For all the talk about the West Coast offense and everything else, if you turn around and all you do is look at when Pat Shurmur called the plays in St. Louis and he has Steven Jackson in the backfield, look it up. Both years, Jackson got more than 300 carries. And over those 2 years, he gained more than 2,600 yards. If Pat Shurmur has a running back that he likes and could run, he's going to give him the ball.
Right. And it should.
I really think people have missed that. Yeah. Look at Steven Jackson in St. Louis with Shurmur calling the play.
Right. And the difference being that will, with Shurmur's ability and throw in Brad Childress, just throw in the whole concept of Mike Holmgren, the whole concept of a team that can throw the football well, it has to do so with the help of a great running back. You know, when you go all the way back to Holmgren on those San Francisco teams, they also had the ability to run the football as well as throw it.
And Alexander was a big key in his Super Bowl team in Seattle. So, the whole thing, you need both. Just like when you talk about, you know, all the great whatever teams, you better have good offense and defense. You have to have all these things. The problem for the Browns for so many years has just been they might be above average in one area, but so many others, Vic, the holes are so apparent. And I also like the fact they went out and got Mitchell Schwartz. To be the right tackle.
Yeah, filling the obvious need there, and he's a key in this whole discussion. We're visiting with Terry Pluto, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Terry, we talk about, okay, Trent Richardson and Mitchell Schwartz, and really all of which the hope for Browns fans eternally is that the quarterback is going to emerge from this with the help of those two, with the help of others on the line, receivers and so forth. But we're looking at a guy in Brandon Whedon who has a lot of people excited about his ability to just throw it. And that's all we're able to see is how he throws it. And I don't think anyone has looked at him in practice one day and said anything other than he can be special. I know there's a lot more that we have to see. Has he struck you that way too?
Yes, he has. I have to admit, though, these drills are really, this part of the football practice is set up to make a guy like that look good. I'm not saying they set it up that way, but it plays to his strength,
right,
which is that nobody is rushing him. So the arm, the accuracy, it's a timing pattern and all those things, but it's just a heck of a lot easier to throw it that way than when there's somebody in your face. Nonetheless, the fact is he can make those throws right now. You know, one of the things that was always kind of scary when you had somebody such as Brady Quinn and some of the other quarterbacks here is, you know, even when they're on the field by themselves, they weren't very accurate. And you wondered about their arm strength. So this is a real positive in my mind that they can go out and at least know that this quarterback has the arm strength and accuracy. And once again, Vic, the players see this.
Yeah.
And it's not a knock on Colt, but it's just the fact. One guy's bigger, stronger, and has a better arm. Now, the big question will be how he holds up under fire. But when you break down those intangibles and then a couple of quick physical things there, you have to be excited about seeing Brandon Whedon play. That said, Vic, to me, that was a very gutsy pick because there are a lot of people say, you know, let's put it this way. If you are wrong on a 29-year-old quarterback in the first round, that's a pick that stays with you for a long time.
Yeah.
And if you're right, it's the same thing. So I give them credit for that because they weren't worried about their reputations. They did not draft scared.
No. They definitely drafted with the confidence that they knew what they were doing on this. But like you said, the consequences are great if it doesn't work out. But it takes me to this point because I think it's been interesting, Terry, how fans have reacted in general about Colt McCoy. I think the likability factor of this guy is so high that this probably contributes to it to a great extent. I thought, in light of, and I know during the season people are just so focused on what they're not seeing in terms of success and the struggles of this offense, that Colt took the brunt of it, and then his season ends abruptly with a concussion. But in general, I didn't get a sense that people were so enamored with Colt that they were opposed in any way to bringing in the new quarterback. Now, the age thing aside, what I've heard as much as anything, for those who aren't just being critical of the age risk, if you will, with acquiring Whedon, it's those who basically say Colt's getting a raw deal, that somehow Colt, somehow they are mistreating this guy who has done nothing but work hard and blah blah blah, you know, brought him in the third round and give him a chance, and I'm, that's the feedback I'm getting. Have you gotten the same, and if so, why do you think that is the case?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's a minority, but they're pretty vocal, and there are people who probably. Here's the deal, Vic. It's kind of like we want, quote unquote, fairness all the time. Well, this is not fair to this person versus that person. And you know how it works in the NFL. If they could think a guy's better than you, they're going to bring him in. It's just like, look, if they think they can get a writer better than me or a broadcaster better than you, we're out.
Right.
I mean, that's how the real world works.
Yep.
And the fact is, for all the reasons you and I just discussed, Brandon Whedon is a better quarterback prospect than Colt McCoy, period. I mean, there's a reason Whedon went in the first round. Okay, so say the Browns didn't take him and he dropped in the second round. He was going to get picked in the second round. And where Colt McCoy went in the third round, some people even thought that was a little too high. So the idea being that, yes, he didn't have a right tackle and Hillis was hurt and all those things. I mean, people just appreciated his being spunky and gutty, but I also think it's just an unreasonable position to be at. The idea has to be you get better.
Right.
It's not about being quote-unquote fair to McCoy, whatever that means.
Right.
It's about being fair to the fans and your team better. I mean, let's put it this way. They dumped Peyton Hillis to go get Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
That was – in the back of their mind from the moment it seemed to, when they wouldn't even really negotiate with Hillis, you know, and when his, you know, remember he brought his old agent finally back and kind of told him to make a deal? Well, there was no deal to be made because the Browns had decided, no, we're going to get better than Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
Could you say, well, it wasn't fair to Peyton Hillis. I mean, you know, he gained 1,100 yards 2 years ago, and then he was hurt, and the offense wasn't very good, and the line was all young and all that kind of stuff. Well, too bad. And I don't mean that. Now, I'm also in the minority camp of wanting to keep McCoy as the backup, where other people act like all of a sudden you have Bernie Kosar as the backup and that this is going to somehow tear the team apart. And I don't really get that, actually.
Well, great stuff from you, Terry. As always, we appreciate it. And I don't see a writer replacing you anytime soon, my friend, just so you know.
I hope not. I need the job, Vic. We all do, right?
I was going to say, don't we all? Hey, great stuff. I look forward to seeing you soon, bud.
Thank you.
He is Terry Pluto, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.